Hi, this is Hugh Greenwood from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Here is your host, Dean Basich.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Basich. You can find me on X or Twitter at Hashtag Kangas, Instagram, Hashtag Kangaroos Podcast, TikTok, Hashtag Kangaroos 1. So tonight I'm joined in another episode of a Getting to Know You in Jacinta. Now, I had Jacinta on a few times. It's been a while since I've had her on. She works for Champion Data and is very much a big North Melbourne supporter. So, this will probably be the last of the Getting to Know You hosts. I'll probably, do a lot more football talk in the coming weeks because it is starting to ramp up a bit now. There is a lot of talk. So, I'm going to go back to doing two episodes a week now. I'll be back on Thursday. I've got another episode planned. So, and that episode will be on positional battle, I think. I'll have a couple of guests on for that to talk about that. So, and this year, I want to interact with you listeners a lot more. So, like, maybe do an Instagram live straight after the game to see your reactions and get your thoughts. I want to do voicemails. I've got a link that, you just basically have to register and then you'll be able to send a one-minute voicemail after the game to get your thoughts. I'll do an episode about that. So, I want to interact with you supporters a lot more this year. Anyways, that's it as far as that goes. So might as well get straight into it and get to know Jacinta. So tonight, I welcome to the show in a Getting to Know You episode, and a girl I haven't had on the show for a long time in Jacinta. Now, Jacinta, this is a Getting to Know You episode about how you became a North supporter and not how you became obsessed with Miley Cyrus. Although, I will ask a question, what's the obsession with Miley to start with?
I don't know if anybody else really cares, but it just started because I guess I was a kid when Hannah Montana got on TV, and it just grew and elevated, and I can't get it to stop. So basically, like any addiction, it's a hard habit to break.
Yeah, no. They say with addiction, and the habit never breaks. You're always stuck with an addiction, whether it's drugs, alcohol, gambling, or Miley Cyrus, by the sounds of it.
Then I am definitely stuck. But I did always used to say, like when my mum would tell me off for buying concert tickets or merchandise, I used to say, would you rather me buy concert tickets or go out on the street and buy drugs? Like, what is it? And anyway, there's not really an answer she can give to that. So that used to work.
Yeah, no, that's a pretty good. That's a pretty good description there. So, and it makes total sense as well. So, I'm sure a lot of listeners are probably don't want to listen too much more to Miley Cyrus and how you became a big fan of hers. So, but if people want to follow you on X, I'm sure they can keep in touch with Miley in that regard as well. So we all know how much you retweet comment on Miley Cyrus things. So that's always a bit of fun.
Yes, I'm sorry to my footballing followers for that.
No, I'm sure they accept your apology. Now, I might get your age because we have chatted a few times, but I don't know much about you, Jacinta. So how old are you?
I am 27.
Oh, so still fairly young in your 20s, so a lot younger than me. So how did you become a North supporter?
My dad is a North supporter, mum's a Collingwood supporter, but basically, so dad was born in the 60s, and obviously Collingwood had just won a couple flags in the 50s, I think 53 and 58, so when he was born, he was all on the Collingwood train, and obviously being the biggest club, it was pretty hard to avoid them. But then in the 70s, he went looking to buy his first Collingwood jumper, and they were all sold out, so he saw a North Melbourne jumper was pretty similar, just different colours. So he bought the North Melbourne jumper. And then he ended up being pretty lucky because then he saw a couple flags in the 70s. So he went through school pretty happy with himself. And then he met mum, who's a big Collingwood supporter, and then they kind of had a debate about who the kids would follow. So I was born first in 96. And then basically dad got me to North Melbourne, and my sister born in 99, and mum got her to Collingwood, so they kind of went one each.
Oh, they were good years as far as North supporters, 96, 99.
Dad always says to Mum, have another kid so we can have another flag. So,
oh, please have another five if they can. Oh, so that'll be good.
Really, she's probably out of the range now, but early 2000s, that's what he was asking for. So nothing to do with kid, just all North Melbourne premierships.
Yeah, no, that's not too bad. And it's just the one sibling then?
Yeah, just one, but she's not that big on footy. So I guess Dad kind of lucked out. But yeah, he's the one who was going to games every week. So at least he got one who could go with him.
No, fair enough. That's worked out all right. And how? Obviously, I think you're a member. And how long you been a member for?
Since I was little, so it must be close to 25 years.
Oh, right. So, yeah. Geez, you must have got 2 years old or something like that. So,
yeah. So I'm an MCC member as well. So the money is pouring out of me when it comes to football these days.
Fair enough. Where do you prefer? Like, I guess you grew up in an era when we started pretty much playing football in that Marvel. Yeah, you probably wouldn't have seen too many games at the MCG, but where do you prefer watching the football? Is it Marvel or MCG?
Well, because I'm a cold person, I prefer Marvel, especially during winter.
Yeah. But
I can understand the argument. People love the G. I think it is a different atmosphere, isn't it? But I don't know. I'm pretty happy with Marvel having the room.
Yeah. I mean, I'm similar. Like, I've probably been converted because I grew up, obviously, watching football on Friday nights when we used to pretty much have all our games in the 90s on Friday nights that, I used to love the G, but I've been converted to Marvel now. I mean, I guess we only get one game a year. It's usually against Collingwood or something like that, the MCG now. But until we play finals, which you'd probably have to think is a fair way away still, isn't it?
Yeah, we've got a little bit more waiting before we get to see some more games at the G, I would say.
Yeah. No, definitely. And who have been some of your favourite players over the course of your 25 years being a member?
Glenn Hatcher was my all-time favourite. I was really obsessed with him as a kid. Even like every school project I would do in primary school, I would always somehow relate it back to him. Like, I think in grade 3 or 4, I went to a Catholic school and we had to do like a project on who, like, I don't know, like a charity worker or something like that. And I did Glenn Archer. So that's where I was at as a kid, just not learning about any saints, just all related. But I loved Andrew Swallow. Let's see. I loved Ben Brown before he went away.
Yeah.
I was big on Shannon Grant. But then I know I missed a lot of Kerry's when I was a kid because I kind of was a bit too young for him. But when I got, early footy cards in 2000, 2001, I would always, even when I had him as like an Adelaide player, I would always put him in with my North Melbourne cards always. So I was a fan just based on like the old videotapes. So I don't know if that counts, but because then I remember I did also cry when he retired. Or no, when he went to Adelaide, I started crying. And then my mum didn't want to tell me that he was going to Adelaide. So she said, oh no, he's not playing. He's just broke his leg. But then I saw in the news that he went to Adelaide and it just made it worse. So
yeah.
I guess that kind of stuff really cuts you up.
Yeah, oh, that was heartbreaking at the time, being North Sport. I think it was 2002, wasn't it, when that whole thing happened with the whole Anthony Stevens thing. So, yeah, no, I was obviously a lot older. Obviously, your mum's trying to protect you a little bit there by saying he's got a broken leg. But, definitely. Did your old man make you watch tapes of him or anything like that?
Yeah, I lived on the 96 grand final. Although he wasn't a star in that game, so I'm not really sure why he picked that. I think maybe it was the Glenn Archer factor. But he always had tapes on from the 90s. And I tried to watch the 70s, but the colour was not interesting to me as a 6, 7-year-old. So, or the lack of colour, I guess.
It's probably going back, a fair way. That's going back close to 50 years now, 1975, 1977. So, it's a very different era and a very different football game. Like, I've watched those games before, and every player, did the old drop kicks or torpedoes. It was a very, very different era. That's for sure. I have a feeling who I know you're going to say for this next question, but current day favourite player or players?
Oh, it's hard. I was trying to think about this actually. I would probably say it's probably Jai Simpkins, probably my favorite at the moment. It's hard because they're all kind of still developing, but I mean, I love watching LDU when he's at his best. He's so good to watch. But honestly, the current day players, I don't even know if I've got any of them as badges anymore. Like, I think my last one might have been Cunnington, was probably my last like current day player, and the rest are all the women's players, like Jenna Bruden, I love, obviously Jazzy Garner. In terms of men, the favorites are still developing, but I was probably joking.
I thought you might have said Charlie Lazaro, because that's we have talked about him a fair bit over the time. Not in the top, not on the top of the list there, or.
Oh, if he got more of a run, I really would, but I can't watch the VFL every week, so he just goes down. He goes down, but I really would love him to get more of a go this year.
Yeah, I mean, did you see his game last year, round 23, when we beat Gold Coast?
Yeah, no, he was good. He was good.
Yeah, oh, he was very good. He got 25 touches. He looked good in the midfield. I actually did my best 23 the other day, and I've got him as a sub, but I might actually put him in now. I think he might be one of those ones that sneaks under the radar and plays some good football this year. There's a lot to like about him, and if he gets that opportunity where he's a rotating midfielder, because he can't play anywhere else, can he? Like a wing or half forward or anything like that, really.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think he needs to be in the mid. But it would have been really good if he could have grabbed the other. If Bailey Scott could have had one, he could have had the other. But it just doesn't look like that this.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. And obviously AFLW, it must have been a bit heartbreaking, like myself, losing that grand final.
Yes, I was actually in Japan for it. So
Oh, wow.
prelim, I think I was in Tokyo and I watched that in the hotel room. And then the grand final, I kicked off whilst traveling with some friends. I kicked them out. I said, "You guys go sightseeing. I'll watch by myself." And then, it was looking good for a while. But then,
Yeah.
they all came back in and they all gave me condolences. And I just said, "No one talked to me. You just need time to decompress it."
Yeah, I was yeah, like I was at the game, obviously,
Sorry.
I mean, those for the first 10 minutes, like, I mean, obviously the Brisbane Lions supporters and players are celebrating, and our supporters are just in shock almost that when you lose, you just sort of sit there and just, you don't want to you don't want to talk about anything. You just you're lost. I guess might as well talk about it. I mean, I guess one of your favourite players, Jenna Bruton, going down probably it hurt our chances, didn't it, a fair bit.
Yeah, I think she was amazing during the finals. She was just playing beautiful, like sweeping role. And then it really hurt, especially the ball use inside 50. We just couldn't hit it last.
Yeah, and she makes a big difference with that, doesn't she? Like her ball use, and playing at high half forward probably the last 3 or 4 weeks, she made a big difference to that forward half, didn't she?
Yeah, she went down too early. I think even if she had gone down maybe in the third, maybe we could have had, a couple extra goal lead, and who knows? But yeah, you have to move past the what ifs, otherwise it just breaks your heart all over again.
Yeah, look, I mean, in my 20s, I got my heart broken a few times by some girls. So, it just brought back memories of that. So, yeah, we'll move on. We can't dwell on the past, I guess. So, best player you've ever seen for North?
Probably Boomer. I'd go with Boomer.
Yeah.
But then skill wise, I mean, Daniel Wells was beautiful to watch. He was just a little bit inconsistent in some seasons. But overall, I think Boomer's the best player I've seen for North.
Yeah, Daniel Wells got mentioned quite a few times. He was a very highly skilled player, and I think he was a bit underappreciated for how good he was for North. He was a very good goal assist guy, very good at using the ball inside 50, and he has been mentioned a few times. So that's a really good one, and yeah, hard to go past. Like in your era in the 2000s, hard to go past Boomer Harvey. Look, he's played 430 odd games and probably got his career cut short. Probably a year or two as well, early. I think he still had another year or two left. Would you agree with that?
That's actually really made me nervous because now I think Pendles is going to catch him.
Well, I hope not.
Oh, no, but he never gets injured. I think he's coming. I really do. It's just, yeah. If he had just had one more year, I don't think anyone would.
Because Pendles is about 35, 36 at the moment, but he's still playing good football. He's still got his football smart, slowed down a lot, but still very smart, very good user of football. We don't want to talk about Scott Pendlebury too much, I guess. Any players that you didn't like or rate?
I think the players I didn't like or rate probably be the same as other supporters didn't really rate. I mean, I remember I had so many issues with Jonathan Hay. He killed me. I know he had his own troubles off field, but that one really, really frustrated me. I remember Shannon Watt used to really mess me. Lockie Hansen, me and Dad used to call him number one just because he would do one good thing, one bad thing, and we used to hate it because he would take one good mark and then we would think, oh no, now there's going to be a turnover. Like it was just, he was a nightmare for a stage there. And then I think in terms of players that I think people rated that I didn't really rate, maybe like Patch Adams. I don't know. I just didn't really see it with him. I mean, you could see he bled for the jumper and everything, but I don't know. I think skill-wise, he just, I don't know, just wasn't up there for me.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I didn't mind Patch Adams. That's a different one. But yeah, everyone's got their own opinion. There's nothing wrong with that. So, Shannon Watt was it was a lot of people sort of either liked him or didn't like him. So yeah, that was an interesting one. Jonathan A. Yeah, I mean when he came to North, he was obviously having a lot of issues off field, and we didn't know about it, but. When you're going through the Hawthorn medicine cabinet trying to, take painkillers and all that sort of thing. And yeah, obviously, yeah, a lot of things going on. So you would have seen when he came to North, he couldn't even kick a football or do anything really. So yeah, he just wasn't the same player, unfortunately. And yeah, obviously with the knowledge we have now of mental health, I think he might have been a different player when he came to North. But unfortunately, we didn't get to see that. And apparently, he's in a good headspace at the moment. So in his real life, so which is the most important thing at the end of the day. But I think we paid two first rounders for him as well. So he came with a big big contract and yeah.
Lance Piccioni with him as well, or did he come like the year after or two?
Yeah, he came. He got delisted by Hawthorn. He came for a year.
Oh, okay, yeah. I just remember where we kept getting rubbish players from Hawthorn.
Yeah, I know. It was like a dumping grid. Oh, we got Nathan Thompson. He was all right.
Was a
Yeah,
good.
he wasn't. Yeah, he wasn't too bad. But yeah, it seemed to be a dumping ground. The Hawthorn rejects sort of thing. Yeah, we'll just take him. So, yeah. Favorite game of all time.
I mean, that standard at 2014 final against Essendon was the best game I've been to. I loved Archer's 250th where they came back from, was it 40 points? Or down by 40 points.
The Corey Jones one.
Yes, the Corey Jones from the pocket one. That one I loved. I remember jumping up on the couch because I was playing Sydney. Okay?
What's that?
I think they were playing in Sydney against
Yeah,
Sydney.
that's right. Yep.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites. And also, I mean, you're going to find a theme here, but Archer's 300, Petrie's, you know, he got 7 goals, 6 goals in the first quarter. He just went crazy. That's also a good quarter to watch too.
That was I think he kicked six in like 20 minutes or something like that. It was
It was mad.
unbelievable. It was playing on a like one of the best fullbacks At the time, Brian Lake, or whatever he called himself then, Brian Harris, I think it was back then. He played and he absolutely demolished him. Anything that was going near him, he's just plucking and kicking goals. Yeah, that was Archer's 300th. We ended up having a really good win for that one too. So yeah,
that was a good game. And then I remember Lindsay kicked the, like, they signed the balls at the end of the game, and that was a special, like, 300th game ball. And Lindsay Thomas kicked it into the stands, and I actually got it. And I was so rapt because I had signed it. And he was obviously my all-time favourite. Then I remember going to, like, family day clinics and things, just not letting anybody except, like, elite players sign the ball. So it was only, like, Archer. I think Shannon Grant would sign it. I think I let Boomer sign it. And, like, the list was, like, that was it. Like, no other players could touch that ball.
Oh, right. Oh, nice. So it was just those three that got the signature off?
I would have to have a look, because then I had, like, my other normal ball who I just let anybody sign, but that one, it was privileged players sign.
Oh, that's actually a really good story. So, yeah, no, you've got a piece of memorabilia there. Just into that's it's Archer's 300th game, yeah, to get football, signed by a few legends as well. Yeah, no, if you ever want to donate it for an auction or something, you might make thousands of dollars or something off that. So, yeah, no, that's a really good one. I love the Corey Jones game, coming from 40 points down where he just overran him in the last quarter and kicked that winning goal. I still hear that Stephen Quartermain commentary of Corey Jones every time he kicked that winning goal. So that was a fantastic game. It was good to pick because I've had previous guests on and they've done the cliche Essendon one, so it was good to get a couple of different games that I've almost forgotten about, Jacinta. So that was good to bring back some good memories there. So, in saying all that, what are you hoping to see in 2024, which is creeping up?
Yeah, I'm still a little bit nervous. I mean, last year I was hoping for 5 wins, and I think we got 3. So, a little bit off that. I am hoping for 5 this year. I really, really think they need to at least get out of that bottom 2. Otherwise, it's just going to feel like another waste of a year. Even if we improve percentage-wise, we have to have more than that. It's just a killer for everyone involved with the club. And then I'm hoping then next year we can maybe aim for 8 or 9, so 2025, 8 or 9. And, maybe 2026 for our challenge for finals, and then hopefully 2027 top 4, and then who knows. So, yeah, but I still think we're a few years away from that.
No, we're still we're still a fair way away from probably playing final. Are you worried that we've lost a lot of experience over this last year? We are the youngest team in the competition, average age of 23.4. The second youngest is Hawthorn. And we've got the least amount of games experience per player as well, 49.4. So, which is, I think the next worst is like 60 or something like that. So, are you worried about the inexperience of the squad at the moment?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a big problem, especially if we have a couple injuries, and we always do. I think we're going to be in big trouble. I mean, there's no one else to lose in the back line. So, people keep saying, oh, if Aiden Corr goes down, then we're in trouble. But honestly, he could go down, and I don't think we're just there.
It's not like we've got an All-Australian fullback here. If he goes down, we're in trouble. I think the most important one here, I think if Nick Larkey goes down, we're in serious trouble he got injured, because I can't see us kicking goals outside of him, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think if he goes down, we may as well just sit at the bottom of the ladder, like just forfeit every week. I think we'll be in.
Might be easy. Just take a 5-goal loss every week, see if we can work something out with the opposition, something like that. So,
we'll be in big trouble unless somehow somebody comes to help him out. But I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, I mean, just on that, is there any players that you think might surprise us in 2024? That's outside of Charlie Lazaro, of course, but any other fringe player you think, oh, geez, I reckon if he gets an opportunity, he might, I think he'll do really well.
With our fringe players, they all tend to be, like, inexperienced players, so it's not that they're going to surprise us. It's just that they haven't really had much of a go. So I think if Josh Goeder can actually lock down a spot in halfback, I think he will do some damage. But again, he's not really a surprise. We hope he comes on. I would love for Paul Curtis to just explode again. I know he came good. He came good. But, yeah, I would love for him to, you know, do a little bit more as well, because I think he could help out, like, in the forward line, put over his head. So anyone that can take a mark inside 50, we really need them to come on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you've probably named the two players that I was thinking. I think Josh Goeder's, going to have a really good year. I'm going to go a bold prediction. I think he'll come top five in our best and fairest. And, yeah, Paul Curtis, I think he's a good option. He's a very similar to, like, a Bailey Fritch or a Lindsay Thomas, that you can leave him deep in the forward 50 one-on-one, and he generally is pretty good. So, it might be the odd option where we just push Larky up the ground a bit outside 50 and just leave him isolated a bit. I think that might be an option this year as well, because we don't really have the second tall forward unless he counts Callum Collins-Jones, which the jury's still out, isn't it, for him?
Yeah, I wouldn't be counting him just yet. I mean, I hope we can by the end of the year. Right now, I wouldn't be.
Yeah, no. I can't be confident with his body holding up, first off, and that he's going to be, a game changer or anything like that. Sorry, Siobhan Rowe is a big fan of his, obviously. Now, you obviously work for Champion Data.
Yeah.
What's the main metric or statistic you think when you really need to prove in for the team to improve and go up the ladder?
It's interesting because last year, the K's we were running as a team, they matched it with the team. So it wasn't that they weren't working hard. It was just that they weren't working smart. And I know they were also probably chasing their tails a lot. It's hard with the metric because sometimes you can look at something like that and just think, oh, well, you know, they're matching it in this area and this area and this area. But then you look at the scoreboard and it's just no match at all. But, I think as it's been a problem for the past 20 years probably, those kicks inside 50 are just so important, especially now with the zoning defense and things like that. If we can't at least – someone's advantage, that ball's going to be out with our defense, we're in big trouble.
Yeah, do you think, I don't know if you, do you remember the round 23 game against Gold Coast?
Yeah.
Last year? Yeah, do you think that's going to be like a sample of how we want to play this year? Like, I think that's the only way we're going to be able to compete, if we try and play a bit of run and gun football where we counter-attack and try and move the ball with pace. Do you see that sort of how we want to play this year?
I think if our skills are up to scratch, that will work. But if they're anything like the way we were last year, outside of that Gold Coast game, it's just going to be run and gun, and it's going to be turnover, and it's going to leave our defence wide open. But I understand I would want to teach them how to attack and not, you know, just do the poor ruse and just flood back and roll. But, yeah, I think there's going to be something that doesn't work, and it's going to look really ugly for us.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a couple of bad losses again this year. But I think, generally speaking, I think we'll kick scores as well. Because our defence is going to be strong anyway. Like, the key position area isn't going to be strong. I think we can, if we can get the odd intercept and put a bit of pressure up the ground, then we can rebound. Because we've got good players behind the ball that can use the ball quite well. Like, I think Josh Goeder's a very good user of a football. I think Zach Fisher will really benefit. Dylan Stevens, they're good users of football. So, they'll be very good recruits and be able to, hit targets up the ground. And if we move it with pace, it's very difficult to defend against as well for the opposition. So, it's going to be interesting. I guess we'll find out more in the pre-season when that gets going, pre-season games. Now, I think you mentioned this before. So 2027 onwards is when you think we can compete for another flag?
Yes, roughly, if all goes well in the next few years. Yeah, but I still think we need to get next year's draft right, at least next year's right. I mean, hopefully we got 2023's draft right. It looks like we did. but it's hard to say. Yeah, I think we do another draft your way from, you know, filling some holes up and then hopefully challenging in a few years.
Well, that's the hope anyway. Hopefully we can have little gradual steps this year. And, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to measure wins or anything like that. I just want to see improvement in how we move the ball. And, yeah, because to be honest with you, I think we might only win three or four games this year, to be honest with you. I don't think we can win. We will win much more than that. We've just lost a lot of experience. And you rely on a lot of young kids. And we, outside of Nick Larkey, we don't really have any key position players, unless you count probably Aiden Cores, probably your second best key position defender. Our second key position player on your list, then yeah, you're probably in a bit of trouble. So,
yeah, yeah, well, I'd say so.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, no, exactly. So, well, Jacinta, that's all I have for you. Any final messages in case Miley Cyrus is listening, which I doubt she is?
If she was listening, by any chance, it would just be come to a Melbourne. That's my only message for her.
She doesn't have anything planned, does she, at this stage?
No, she does not. You would know if she did, you would have blocked me by now, so.
Yeah, no. Obviously, we all know that Taylor Swift is coming to Melbourne soon. So, yeah, no, that was dominating last year. But, yeah, if Miley Cyrus comes, I'm sure I'll hear about it from you first. So, yeah, might have to mute your ex profile when that all happens. So.
And that would be very fair. You might even hear me screaming all the way from Bundoora. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's not too far away from me. So, only 20 minutes away. So, yeah, no, it's... Not too, but that's fair enough. Well, I could hear you. I was only up the road from a tobacco store blowing up the other day, so deliberately set on fire. So, yeah, no, I'm sure if Miley Cyrus decides to tour, I'm sure I'll hear you at like 3 a.m. or something like that. So from Bundoora, but in saying that, Jacinta, it's been a real pleasure getting to know you tonight. I'm sure I'll have you on during the year at some point. It's going to be the year of the Laz, I think, Jacinta.
Oh, I hope so. I hope for his sake and I hope for our sakes.
Yeah, no, I'm confident. So, yeah, get on board the Laz. Anyways, Jacinta, thanks so much for coming on, and go Roos.
Go Roos. Thanks, Dean.
So thank you very much to Jacinta for coming on the show once again. It did break up a little bit in the recording, but you pretty much got the gist of it, most of it. There was the odd word that missed out and so forth. So it wasn't the greatest reception, but that's Melbourne internet for you, I guess. So hopefully you listeners got something out of that. And I actually really enjoyed getting to know her as well. So yeah, I have chatted to her a few times, but that was the first time I really had an in-depth conversation with her. Anyways, that's it for this episode. Like I said at the start, I will be back Thursday. And like I said at the start as well, I will try and interact with you supporters a lot more throughout the course of the year, trying to come up with a few different things. So, that, like I said, that's it. So tonight, I will leave a shout out to Jacinta at MeantForMoreJF on X. And also, thank you very much to all you lovely listeners for all the likes, retweets, comments you all put out for the show. And if you can tell your friends, family, whoever you want to do to promote the show, that would be awesome as well. Sorry, I forgot to mention that before. Anyways, that's it. Bye for now and go Roos.